Heaven will surely be worth it all. Our text today, if you want to turn there and be ready, Revelation chapter 20, the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity, this privilege to be in your house today. We assemble in the name that's above every name, the only name under heaven, whereby men, women, boys, and girls can be saved, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all these prayer needs, Brother Chris has shared a multitude of them. Lord, we bring them to you before the throne of grace and ask you, Lord, to be our intercessory prayer warrior with us. There you're seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us, the Scripture says. And so, Lord, we're glad you pray not only for us, but with us. And so we bring these petitions, these prayer concerns to you. Thank you for the great, exciting things that are unfolding before our eyes right here at Park Place, the children that come in here on Tuesday, the backpack ministry giveaway this Tuesday. All these opportunities, God, to help turn this church around and be a lighthouse in this community. So today as we worship, help every song sung, offering given, message delivered today to be a blessing as we look today at the great white throne judgment of God. So bless now the service and all those who are here today. And those who are watching by Facebook today, I pray our service will go out to them as well. So help us, Lord, now to worship and put aside the cares of this life that are many. And help us focus today on what you want us to hear from you, from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen. Amen. And you look like Baptists. Some of you have got here early so you could fill up the back. Amen. That's what Baptists do. Okay, Brother Chris, come with me.
He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Psalm chapter 40, verse 3. Let's all stand together and sing, He Keeps Me Singing.
Thank you.
just alluded to football, high school football cranked up Friday night. I think colleges, some start, I think, next week. Had the privilege of coaching a little football through the years quite a bit. Brother Darrell was a fullback there at East Davis and SC. 1973, Andy Goins and that good team. I remember that Ledford game, remember, 22-22. That was just a mere 49 years ago, is that about right? Tells you how old Darrell is. Darrell was a good football player, but not so much a student. One day he brought his report card home. He was hesitant to show it to his dad, but when his dad saw it, he said, "Well, son, I can say this with grades like that. I know you're not cheating, amen." So. Now, I love Bear Bryant stories. The legendary former coach at University of Alabama, one time his assistant was out recruiting and was so excited about a prospect that he saw on Friday night football that he had to call Bear Bryant at halftime and say, "Coach, we've got a star we need to recruit. We need to sign this kid." He gets knocked down and gets up, gets knocked down, gets up, gets knocked down, gets up. He's amazing. He's a stud. To that, Bear Bryant said, "I don't want him." The assistant said, "What do you mean you don't want him?" He said, "I want the one that keeps knocking him down." Amen. So that's who Bear wanted. Revelation chapter 20 in your Bibles this morning. All humor aside, this is not going to be a very pleasant or pretty message. In fact, the scene that's about to unfold before us, Revelation chapter 20. The scene that's about to unfold before us is probably, I would say, the most awesome and awful. Let me repeat that. The most awesome and awful scene in all of the Bible. We're talking about heaven will surely be worth it all. Why heaven will be heaven. Wednesday night, we looked at the first reason heaven will be heaven, because of what or who will not be there. Wednesday night, we saw Satan, the old devil, the old accuser, our old adversary, will not ever step foot into heaven. And we saw his destiny and doom right here climaxed in this 20th chapter. If you'll read this on your own, verses 7 through 10, you'll see Satan's destiny and doom that's yet futuristic, but it will come to pass. But then here this morning, we're going to focus on verses 11 through 15. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. But for a backdrop, come back up to verse 4 here in Revelation chapter 20. To kind of give us a preview to verses 11 through 15. Notice here in this great passage, verse number 4. John the writer on the Isle of Patmos, recording this great revelation, says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, in which had not worshiped the beast." Now, this is referring to those who will get saved during the tribulation period, will reject the beast is referring to the Antichrist. This is all in chapter 13. That mark of the beast that one will have to have in order to buy and sell. But those tribulation saints who get saved will reject that mark. And thus they will die, they'll be beheaded, is what John records. "Which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark," that 666 upon their foreheads. Again, all of this is in chapter 13. "Or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is what we call the millennial reign of Christ that will happen when Jesus comes back to earth at the end of the tribulation period and establishes his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. But now look at verse 5 and pay particular attention. Look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead. Now we all know what it means to be dead. We all face that one day, that prospect, and unless the Lord comes back and we're raptured. The rest of the dead, look at this, don't miss this. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. When will the first resurrection take place? At the moment of the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or raptured. And this is prior to the tribulation period. So the first resurrection occurs at the moment the trumpet sounds, the Lord steps out in the air, the upper atmosphere, not back to earth, but in the upper atmosphere to call his church, his bride, out of this world. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, notice this phrase, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So that's the millennial reign. You and I, if you're saved, you'll be in your glorified body, and I believe Jesus will assign you and I things to do. Positions of leadership, or however you want to call it. There'll be many that are born during the tribulation, during the millennial reign, but they'll not die because there'll be no curse. This is another message. In fact, we looked at it Wednesday night, verses 7 through 10. But at the end of the 1,000 years, again, look back at verse 4. The dead refers to the dead who died without Christ, who died unsaved, who died lost. And when they die, listen, what happens to a believer? What happens to a believer today when they die, when they experience death? What's that phrase in Corinthians? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I believe when a believer dies at the moment of death, their soul or spirit goes to be with the Lord. We take their body out to some cemetery and bury it, or ashes cremated and set in an urn on grandma's mantle or wherever you put it. But when the lost person dies, remember Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus, when that rich man died, it said in hell he lifted up his eyes. So the lost person, when they die, their soul or spirit goes to Hades or hell. But they face their resurrection. And that's the second resurrection. So let's see where that comes into play, when that's going to occur. Now come down to verse 11 here in Revelation 20. And I saw a great throne, a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Now look at verse 12. And I saw the dead. This is the dead referred to in verse 4. This is the dead that are coming back in resurrection at the end of those 1,000 years. And I saw the dead, small and great. Now underline this. Here's three awesome words. Stand before God. One day, every human being that's ever lived will stand before God, either at the Bema Seat judgment, because you're saved, your sins will not be judged, but your works will be judged. That's another message. Or the lost person one day will stand before God. Stand before God. And the books were open. Notice, God keeps books. God keeps accurate books. God keeps detailed books. God keeps just books. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea, look at verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. See, the lost person, when they die, go to hell, but one day they're coming out, they're going to be resurrected to do what? Stand before God here at the great white throne judgment. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, all inclusive, every man, every woman, even every young person that reached the age of accountability but then rejected Christ. Judged according to their works. Now look at the last two verses. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And what is that called? Look what it says. This is the second death. Heard a preacher say years ago that if you're saved, you're born twice, but only die once. Born again when you're saved. So you only have one death to face. But the unsaved, they're born once, but they'll die twice. Verse 15, the clincher. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, their name not recorded there. Why? Because they never got saved. Was cast into the lake of fire. Let me give you just a quick running outline. Five things I want you to jot down. Every word starts with the letter P. Number one, write down the place. What have we just unfolded here in Revelation 20:11 through 15? What is this place? It's called the Great White Throne Judgment of God. Great emphasizes its awesomeness. Awesome. Enormous. White emphasizes its purity. Great White Throne. Throne emphasizes its majesty. And the Great White Throne Judgment. Judgment emphasizes it'll be a place of justice. So the place, the Great White Throne Judgment. Number two, write down the person. Who's going to be on that throne? Who's going to be the one serving the sentence? Who's going to be the one that will say, I believe these words to each and every one of these people individually as they stand in this place? Depart from me, I never knew you. That judge, and the Bible says in the book of John, the Gospel of John, that the Father will give all judgment to the Son. One day you and I, if you're saved, we'll stand at the Bema Seat judgment before Christ, and He will examine our works. But here at this place, the Great White Throne Judgment, Jesus will be on the throne. He will be the judge. He will be the one in authority. Number three, write down the people. Who are these people that come forth via resurrection? Whether they died at sea, the sea gives them up, hell, Hades gives them up to stand before the Lord. These people are all the unsaved of all the ages. All who died lost without Christ. Write down number four, the procedure. What will be the procedure? Now use the theater of your mind. Today, listen today, if you're here today without Christ, if you've never accepted Him, this is your fate, this is your future, this is your destiny, this is your doom, unless you change, repent, and receive Christ. Every person that ever lived that died lost stands by themselves. This won't be group therapy. You won't have your friends to stand with you individually. Every person stands in this position, and the procedure will be the books will be open and their works will be brought forth before them. Every evil deed, every sin they ever committed, even those they thought were done in deep, dark secret. In fact, the Bible says that one day every idle word will be judged. The procedure will be, books will be open. And there brought before them will be every sin they ever committed. And then number five, write down the punishment. It will be severe, it will be just, and it will be eternal. To be cast into the lake of fire, which is called the second death. So there we have it, kind of in a nutshell, but I want to kind of elaborate a little more. The place, the great white throne judgment, the person on the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, the people standing there will be all the unsaved of all the ages. The procedure will be books open, works will be brought forth, brought to light, judgment will come forth from that, and the punishment will be with their names missing in the Lamb's Book of Life, cast into the lake of fire, and they'll be there for all eternity. So notice here with the dead, the small and the great, the known, the unknown, the educated, the uneducated, man, woman, boy, girl, all who had an opportunity and yet rejected receiving Christ. And God, as I said, keeps books. Now, you know, this morning, I do not know who slaughtered Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. How many remember that one years ago? That infamous trial. I do not know who slaughtered Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, but I think I do. In fact, I'm pretty convinced. But he got off scot-free. But one day we'll know. All those sinners, all those murderers, all those rapers, all those child molesters, all those who died with the wrong sex orientation, every single one, one day will stand. Books open, every sinful deed brought right back before their face. But notice that other book that's mentioned, the Lamb's Book of Life, where every person accepts Christ, their name is indelibly, eternally recorded in that great book. Here at the White Throne Judgment, listen carefully this morning, there will be a judge, but no jury. No jury will be needed. The judge, again, will be the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone will have that authority. He'll be the one on the throne. He'll be the judge. Absolutely no jury. There'll be a prosecution, but no defense. There'll be a sentence, but no appeal. You see, our Lord this morning, and we ought to be thankful for this. Our Lord is a God of grace and love and mercy. But let me remind you this morning, even those watching by Facebook, God is a God of grace, love, and mercy, but He's also a God of holiness, judgment, and righteousness. Heaven will be heaven one day because sin and sinners will not go there. Jesus will judge these unsaved people, every individual sinner, will be held accountable for his or own sin. And I don't believe they'll be able to even open their mouth to offer any excuse. Their sin will be right there before their eyes. And no sinner will escape. No one can avoid this. No one can get away from this. No one can fail to appear. I mean, every sinner that ever lived, unsaved, died that way, will stand there. When the judgment is finished, every single one will be cast into hell, into the lake of fire, the second death. Hell and eternal punishment is a clear witness. Listen now this morning. It's a clear witness to the righteous character of holy God. And I've heard this all through the years. Probably some of you either heard it, or maybe somebody in here today has said it. How can a holy, loving, merciful God send anybody to hell? You ever heard that? God doesn't send anybody to hell. People sin themselves to hell. What do you mean by that, Preacher Andy? I doubt there's a person in the room that cannot quote John 3:16. In fact, let me show you. Let's just do it audibly. Let's all quote John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can say it in our sleep. Probably, maybe even some of the children here this morning can quote John 3:16. But let me remind you, there are two verses that follow John 3:16. Turn in your Bible there if your Bible's handy. John 3:16, we just quoted. But there's two verses that follow I want you to pay attention to, verses 17 and 18. John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. But verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son, and that's the Lord Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save sinners. But look at verse 18. He that believeth on him, on Jesus, is not condemned. Look what follows. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's just add verse 19, and this is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So what does a person have to do to die and go to hell? Nothing. Just stay the same. Keep living the same. Keep doing the same sinful, wicked things. And refuse to accept Christ. You see, every person born, including you and I, were born with what we call a sin nature. No one had to teach you how to lie, how to cheat, how to steal, do those things. Even little children, you can see them in action. If you look closely, they do these kind of things. Nobody had to teach them why they had a sin nature. And because of that sin nature, people are born condemned already. So don't let anybody tell you, or don't think yourselves, that a holy, righteous, loving God is going to send anybody to hell. People send themselves to hell because of their unbelief. You see, in light of Calvary and what Jesus did upon the cross, no unsaved sinner can condemn God for their destiny and doom. You see, God's provided a way of escape. He has ordained that faith in his Son is the only way of salvation, and thank God for that. We live in this critical race theory, cancel culture, woke culture and society that we're all facing today that's just bringing about the allowance for more and more evil and sin. And we have things out there called pluralism. People that believe, oh, there are many roads to heaven. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. I got a fancy Greek word for that, hogwash. It does matter what you believe. The Bible says in Acts 4, verse 12, there's no other name under heaven whereby anyone can be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except by or through me. Jesus is not one of many ways. Jesus is not even the best way. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But our liberal, pluralistic society tries to tell people otherwise. And they're going down that broad way that leads to hell and destruction. Jesus said, narrow is the way, straight is the way, if you're going to heaven. So God's done everything he can do. God couldn't do any more. God couldn't do any better than to send his only darling begotten son into this world to live a sinless life, to take your sin and my sin upon himself, shed his precious blood, every drop of his blood on the cross of Calvary, died, buried, but 3 days later rose again, all for us to be able to be saved. You take that out of the equation and you have no other way. Before God can usher in his new heaven and new earth that we'll look at glimpse into this coming Wednesday night about why heaven will be heaven. Not only Satan will not be there, not only sin and sinners will not be there, but things like sickness, sorrow, and suffering, separation, they'll not be there. But before we get to Revelation chapters 21 and 22 about our heavenly home, we've got to deal with how chapter 20 ends. The place, the great white throne judgment. The person on the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who will stand there individually, all by themselves, before Jesus, the judge, are all of the unsaved who died in their sins. The procedure will be, the books will be opened. And every sin they've ever committed has been recorded. And it'll come back before them. And the punishment is as bad as it gets. Can you imagine to come out of hell, to be resurrected, to stand at the white throne judgment, only to be pronounced as guilty? Depart from me, I never knew you. And to go back into hell, back into the lake of fire, and burn and burn and burn, never to burn up. You got people say, well, hell's not going to be that bad. I won't be there but a few minutes and I'll burn up and it'll be over. No, wrong, my friend. If you look back at verses 7 through 10, you'll find when Satan is cast into the lake of fire, the beast and false prophet are still there after 1,000 years, just burning and burning and burning in torment day and night for eternity. So that's why I say this is the most awesome and awful scene in all the Bible. Now, number one, you and I individually don't want to be there. If you ever stand before the great white throne judgment, it'll be because you're unsaved, never accepted Christ. I didn't say this morning, are you a church member? I didn't say, have you been baptized? I didn't say, have you had your name on a church roll? I didn't say, do you have a position in the church? But can you remember a day and a time when you said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins, and I want you to be my Savior and Lord so one day I can go to heaven. But today, if you're saved, this is why this message is maybe not pleasant or pretty, but The warning makes it necessary. Who do you know that's not saved? Is it family, friends, even foes, neighbors, workmates, relatives? Anybody you know that you're concerned about, if they die in the condition they're in without Christ, do you realize they'll be one of the ones to stand there? Is there anybody you can think of that you want to see stand at the great white throne judgment and face these consequences and this destiny and doom? I would surely hope your answer would be no. So what are you going to do about it? That's why you and I are witnesses to the grace and mercy of God.